Morning. I don't know if you heard the story about a man who fell into a pit and he could not get himself out. A sympathetic person came along and said, "I really feel for you down there in the pit." A psychologist came along and said, "You only think you're in the pit." A Pharisee came along and said, "Only bad people fall into the pit." A geologist told him to appreciate the rock formations in the pit. An IRS agent asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. The county inspector asked if he had a permit to be in the pit. A self-pitying person said, "Well, you haven't seen anything yet until you've seen my pit." A church person came along and prayed for the person who was in the pit. His father told him, "You've made your bed in the pit, now sleep in it." A doctor told the man to make an appointment with his office 3 months away to get a prescription for the wounds while in the pit. A lawyer offered his services to make the responsible parties pay for the pit. His children asked him if the pit meant that their vacation would be canceled. His wife asked if he could pick up a gallon of milk on the way home from the pit. But Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, got down into the pit himself, put the man on his shoulders, and carried him out of the pit. Isn't that like Jesus? Isn't that who he is? That's what he does, if we'll let him. He's willing to get down alongside of us in the pit and lift us up and carry us out of the pit. Sometimes we find ourselves in the pit of worry. There are so many things that we worry about. We worry about our health. We worry about our finances. We worry about our kids. No matter how old they get, we worry about them. We worry about our grandkids. A few Saturdays ago here at the church, there was a men's breakfast, and we listened to a fella who is involved in rescuing girls from human trafficking. He was talking about the fact that social media is the main avenue through which those who are doing the abductions are reaching our kids. He made a statement that really caught my attention, I guess mainly because my 12-year-old granddaughter, Kenzie, was just recently given her first cell phone. And by the way, her parents didn't ask my opinion on that. And she got that cell phone, and I'm knowing that in my mind, and this fellow that we're listening to that Saturday morning said this: "When you give your kids a cell phone, you have just ended their childhood." Wow. And immediately he gave me something to worry about. If I would let myself go down that road, it would be so easy to worry about my grandkids, knowing that the world is battling for their minds, the world is battling for their souls, and even their bodies. I mean, we find all kinds of things to worry about. We worry about getting older and what the future holds. We worry about what we might worry about next. Satan wants to throw us into the pit of worry. He wants to keep us there while Jesus wants to come alongside of us and help us out of the pit. We've talked all year long about trusting God. And yes, there are a lot of things that can steal away our peace and cause us to worry. But we have to to decide with the help of the Holy Spirit in us that a better way to live is to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Now, I know every person here fights this battle of worry. The decision of worry versus trusting God. I want to encourage you today to give your worries to Him. To trust Him with all of your heart. And over the course of this year, I have tried to give you a number of verses from the Bible that tell us to trust God. This morning, I want to give to you just a few more of those verses, hoping that when the temptation comes to you to worry, that instead of giving in to that temptation, that you will choose to trust God. Listen to some of these verses, and I think you'll have them on the screen behind me. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20 says, "He answered their prayers because they trusted in Him." How about Psalms 33, verse 21? "For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name." Psalms 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." Verses 5 and 6 of that same chapter says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." Psalms 56, verse 4 says, "In God I will put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" Psalms 91, verse 2, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And Psalms 118, verse 8, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Oh, there are a lot of verses in this book that exhort us, that command us to put our trust in the Lord. And we have just looked at a portion of those verses over these months past. My encouragement to you today would be that you would trust God enough that you don't fall into the pit of worry. First point of the sermon is this: worry will have an adverse effect upon us. Now, you know that. You've read the things about worry in magazines, and you've experienced it yourself. There are a lot of ill effects from worry. The headaches and muscle tension, high blood pressure, sleep problems, digestion troubles, ulcers, a weakened immune system, social problems, mental problems. Worry can keep us from focusing on what we should be focusing upon. It can affect our ability to function at work. It can heighten our irritability. Bottom line, worry is very bad for us socially, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And don't forget spiritually too. We need to slay the giant of worry. Now, most of us here today are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. All of Israel's army was afraid of the giant. But David had a faith in God that allowed him to stand up to that giant and take him down. You know what? We need David-like faith to slay the giant of worry. Otherwise, these adverse effects of worry will cause us a lot of problems. Here's the second point. Worry will not help us even a little bit. Mark Twain said this, "I am an old man and I've known many troubles, but most of them never happened." Isn't that true? Most of us, what we worry about, those things never come about. Have you heard about the sign that hung at the town's only gas station? Free gas tomorrow. Wow. You show up tomorrow, the sign will say the same thing. Free gas tomorrow. And every day, it's that way. Worry is a lot like that sign. We worry about things that are just a little bit out of our reach. I'll say it again. Most of what we worry about never comes about. There was a fella named J. Arthur Rank. He had a system for dealing with worry. Knowing that he was worrying too much, he decided to have a Wednesday worry box. Every time he had a worry, he'd write it down on a piece of paper and drop it into the Wednesday worry box. He was not going to worry about anything until Wednesday came around. Well, Wednesday finally did come around. He'd opened the box, and you know what he found out? Most of what he had written down that he needed to worry about had been resolved. Only about one-third of what he had written down was still needing his attention. Maybe if you have a problem with worry, you need to create for yourself a Wednesday worry box, and you will discover that most of what you worry about, it either will resolve itself or it will never come about. Our worry is not doing us a bit of good. Jesus said something about that in his Sermon on the Mount. He said this, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" You can't. And so why waste all of that time and all of that energy worrying? The King James Version is interesting in how it translates that verse. It says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one single cubit to his stature?" The word worry in the original language means to take thought or to be careful. Now, at first glance, those are good things. But the Greek gives us the word picture of a divided mind. The worrier has a mind torn between what's real and what isn't real, between what's the here and now and what's to come. The worrier is trying to fight the battle of life on two fronts, and he is bound to lose the war. We worry about what might be but isn't. And our worrying cannot add a single cubit to our life. Do you know how long a cubit is? It's about 18 inches long. And what Jesus was saying is simply this, worrying isn't going to cause you to grow 18 inches any more than worrying will fix whatever it is that you're worrying about. Now here's the truth. God is able to handle all of our worries. We need to give them to Him. Just a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, you might remember I showed a picture on the screen of this guy like this. He's humped over and he's got a bunch of boxes on his shoulders, on his back, and it's a heavy load, and each box was signifying a burden, and that's how we tend to live. It's so easy to fall into that way of living, is to try and bear our own burdens. but they weigh us down. It's not a smart way for us to live, and it is not necessary. Jesus is saying, give me your burdens. Give me your worries, and I will give you rest. There is no worry so complicated that God can't take care of it. Do you hear that? I'll say it again. There is no worry so complicated that God can't take care of it. And so whatever it is that you're worrying about, that I'm worrying about, we need to give it to Him. Because He can handle it a whole lot better than what we can. I want to give to you two scriptures to think about, and from them we'll learn how to be set free from our worries. Now, get your ears and your mind ready. You want to be set free from worry? These scriptures give us the avenue to be set free from our worries. The first scripture is Matthew 6:33, and it says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, keep in mind, this verse is sandwiched in between a number of verses that are talking about worry. This is Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. He's cautioning us about worry. And He says in verse 25, do not be worried about your life. If you read on, He mentions some specific things that we ought not to worry about. He says food, clothing, tomorrow. Don't worry about these things, Jesus says. Instead, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. In other words, He'll take care of it all if we seek Him first. Will you do that? Will you seek first His kingdom? Sometimes His kingdom and His righteousness seem to be down here somewhere on our priority list, and there's other things that are up here on our priority list. And Jesus is saying, you got to get that turned around. You have to give attention to that priority list. And if indeed down here is the kingdom of God and down here is His righteousness, then you have to give attention to that. You've got to reverse that and put His kingdom and His righteousness first. And when we do that, He says, I'll take care of everything else. Your needs will be met. There will be no reason for you to worry about all these other things because I've got it. So, I don't know. Are you a worrier? There's the first thing for you to do is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And trust the promise to be true that everything else He'll take care of. Let me give to you a second passage of Scripture. You want to be set free from worry? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I read that scripture and I think, my, it would be so wonderful to have a peace that passes all understanding. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that is exactly what you can have. You can have peace that passes all understanding. And the way to do that is to pray and give thanks to God. David Jeremiah says the seven most important words for the worrier is this: don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Now, if you're a worrier, you need to give attention to that verse. You need to memorize that verse. You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. You need to put it on the bathroom mirror. You need to put it on the refrigerator. You need to put it on your car dash. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. That's the advice straight out of Scripture. And if you're tempted to worry, let that be a prompter for you to go to God in prayer. Every time that you have that temptation to worry, if you're one who's worrying about your finances, if you're one who's worrying about your kids, if you're worrying about your grandkids, when you are tempted to worry, let that be a prompter to you to start praying to God. And be completely honest with Him. God, I am worried about this. I need You. I want to give this to You, God. I trust You. I trust that You are in control. I trust that You will take care of me and those that I love. Prayer is the antidote to worry. Now, He doesn't guarantee us that He will answer our prayers the same way that we are asking, but be guaranteed of this: He will hear you, and He will do the right thing for you, and He will give to you His peace if you do your part in praying and giving thanks. Now, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying today about worry as you're hearing me say, don't be concerned about anything. No, I'm not saying that. We have all kinds of concerns. I have all kinds of concerns. I've raised three kids. I have eight grandkids. I have great concerns. But where we cross the line from concern to worry is when the concern consumes us, where it controls us. One preacher said it this way: it's one thing to visit the house of worry, it's another thing to move in. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They are moving into the house of worry and they are taking up residence there. Worry becomes their lifestyle. They worry themselves sick about everything. They worry when they don't have anything to worry about. And Jesus says, that's how the pagans live. The pagans are consumed with worry. The pagans have moved into the house of worry and take up residence there. That's how they live, and Jesus says, this is not how you are to live. Instead of worrying, we pray and we give it all to Him and we trust Him. We trust His promises to be true, because He will never, ever break a promise. And so, dear God, help us to trust You with our worries, and would You shower us with Your peace. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we are very easily led into worry. And it is a battle. We need your help. There's so much that we could worry about, and yet, God, we know that you are bigger than our worries. You are bigger than our problems. And we want to give them to you. We need you desperately in our life. Help us to go away from this place today with this challenge on our heart, that we will take some time to think about it, to pray, and to just seek your face. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.